You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. It's Thursday. We don't call it Thursday.
It's not Thursday.
This is Friday Eve.
That's right. Friday Eve.
Is it Tuesday or Thursday that's your least favorite day?
Thursday. That's why it's Friday Eve.
But we fixed that with Boomer McQueen, though.
That's right.
That's right. We had to make it better. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you today. So you maybe just heard me say it at 3:30 today. It's Thursday. That means it comes down to my favorite time of every single week. Boomer and McQueen, the lovely McQueen, will join us. We will have that segment at 3:30 today. You're not going to want to miss it. I like hearing their opinions. And then at 4 o'clock, I'm pretty stoked about this. At 4 o'clock, Steve Thornton, the CEO of a company called Montesano Research, is working hard to save the Saturn rocket out at the I-65 rest stop. He's going to be on the show to give us the latest, talk us through the processes, and where he thinks it's going. So, yeah, that's 4 o'clock, Steve Thornton on the Saturn rocket being saved. So I got all that going on. I still got a triple dipper. Hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that we're going to run with on today's show. First out the gate, I'm calling it Living a Lie. You know, I find myself feeling sad sometimes for transgender kids, and I know that some people will take umbrage with that. It doesn't matter. I had a pretty good childhood despite some setbacks and some family issues here and there, but the reality is I had a good childhood. And I hate the idea that kids are not having that, but I also hate the idea that they're being told to go ahead and live a lie. And we're going to talk about that. Number one on the Triple Dipper, living a lie. Number two on the Triple Dipper, I'm just calling this, Mr. President, what's the plan? All right, what is the plan? What are you going to do about the southern border? You say you want to get reelected. What are you going to do about energy? What are you going to do about the different levels of policy that we have to deal with that come out of your administration? What exactly is the plan? Well, we're going to tell you where we think it's going or where the gaps are, and there's quite a few, so y'all stay tuned. Number two on the Triple Dipper, Mr. President, what is the plan? And then number three, yeah, and I know we got some attention on this when we started it before, but number three is save the rocket. Put an exclamation point on that, save the rocket. I'm all for it. I'm a huge fan of history, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we can get done on this. Because I believe it's protected under law, but we'll talk about that with Steve Thornton in the 4 o'clock hour. So if you're interested in the rocket, you're going to want to hear that discussion. All right, let me move over to my comments here today, my opening. And I got to ask you, too, have you ever had one of those professors or instructors or classroom teachers at any level who were just, well, quirky? I remember my dad telling me he had a professor at the University of North Alabama, which was Florence State back then. He had this professor who used to pace and chain smoke the entire time nonstop during lectures while he's walking on a raised dais. Dad said it was almost unnerving because the guy would pace back and forth while staring at the ceiling and his toes would stop at the edge of the dais without ever looking down. But on top of that, he would chain smoke constantly. But what he did was he would take an occasional long drag off his filterless Camels and then never blow it out. Dad says it was as if the smoke just disappeared until a minute or so later, it would come wafting out of his mouth and nose while he was speaking, never blowing it, just letting it flow out on its own. He said it was really distracting and just super quirky. In my years of study, I've had some humdingers. I mean, here's one. In my sophomore year in college at the University of South Alabama down in Mobile, I was in an English literature class, and it was a decent class, but the professor was very quirky, almost jumpy. If you asked him a question, he would dart his eyes over to you like he was scared by your raised hand. So one day, we're discussing something to do with the Mayflower and the arrival of the Pilgrims. And he made the statement that after the original Pilgrims disembarked from the Mayflower, that it hoisted anchor to return to England, but that no one knows what happened to the ship after that. Well, I did. So I raised my hand. and I got the nervous jumpy look, like he wondered what I was up to. And when he called on me, I let him know that I had lived in England for several years, and I had visited the 260-year-old building that had been built from the Mayflower's salvaged timbers when it was scrapped. His response was to get all jumpy and nervous and say, well, I just don't know about that. And I responded simply, I said, well, sir, I was there. I mean, they even showed us the beam that was fractured during the Mayflower's voyage and repaired by the crew, something that, by the way, was historically documented. To which he replied once more, no, I just don't know about that. Talk about an awkward moment in front of the whole class, so I just shrugged and let it go. But after the class, just trying to be conversational, I was walking past him on the way out, I walked up to my jumpy lecturer, and I said something like, hey, sir, what I said earlier about the Mayflower, I mean, it's real. It was really something to see. And he avoided eye contact. He looked around. He said again, well, I just don't know about that. And he gathered up his briefcase and exited the room. Like I said, quirky. But in retrospect, looking back on that, what was likely happening was that a viewpoint of his was being challenged. And it was being challenged openly. And he didn't know how to respond. It wasn't a question about his syllabus material. I mean, I was not rewriting history or changing the base constructs of English lit. It was just a factoid about a sidebar comment. I was trying to be conversational, but yet I was a physical witness to something and tried to apply my reality to his quirkiness and was surprised when it was just rejected out of hand. Well, that's exactly what we see happening all around us in the world today. Today's progressive left does not just want you to see their version of budgeting or prioritizing as a better way. The progressive left is not interested in whether or not you have an opinion at all on anything. The progressive left does not want to debate an agenda or the finer parts of domestic or foreign policy, and it does not matter whether you are an actual witness to the events that are being bandied about in their public square. No, the progressive left actually just wants, demands, insists that we must deny our reality in favor of their version of reality. But that goes beyond mere quirkiness. In this case, it's actually dangerous. You see, when reality can be freely denied, it means that there are no absolutes. In a world that has no absolutes, then only those in power can get their way because truth is relative. In a world without absolutes, there can be no true justice because people cannot be held to account for their actions if their actions can merely be considered a product of their own truth. You can't deny me my truth. It's my reality. You're just trying to impose your morality on me. No, actually, we're just trying to keep a basis of truth from which to work so that we can know where everyone stands. You see, when truth becomes relative, then nothing is true and anything goes. I mean, do you feel like borrowing money from the petty cash at work without asking? Sure. That's not stealing. You needed it. That's just your truth. Can a grown man believe that he's really a little girl? Of course he can. That's how he identifies. Who are we to deny him access to the girls' room at the local gym? Is it okay to assert that the U.S. military is systemically racist? Yes. It fits the narrative that no one has witnessed, but since we believe it, we're in charge, and there you go. Racism. Is it all right to demand that every citizen take a vaccine or that children should be encouraged to cross the southern border alone or that we should outsource our energy production or that we should just shut down anyone who dares to not want an electric vehicle or, by the way, that road construction is needed to fix racism? Yes, 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 and yes, and yes. Because, well, you know, people with another worldview that denies reality that we're in say we should do all those things and more. But then it comes back to whether or not you have a principled view, one that you believe in, one that perhaps you are even a witness to. If you just want to be liked by those in power, then by all means, just go along to get along. That's easy. That's comfortable. But keep in mind what Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher once said. She said, if you just set out to be liked, you would be prepared then to compromise on anything at any time and you would accomplish nothing. She also famously asked the question once, do you think that you would have ever heard of Christianity if the apostles had gone out and said, I believe in consensus? Because you see, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they stood in front of those religious leaders who were demanding they deny the reality of what they had seen, deny that they had witnessed or experienced anything that challenged the status quo, to which Peter simply said, in Acts chapter 4, I cannot stop speaking what I've seen and heard. And then Peter and John went out and changed the world. They changed the world by sticking to what they knew to be true and refusing to accept the new version of reality they were being told to believe. And there wasn't nothing quirky about it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, yeah. So the deal is this. If they tell you something's true and you know it's not, you have a right to your own position. If they tell you something's true and you are a witness to just the opposite, tell them what you've seen and heard. But if you just go along to get along, you'll accomplish nothing. Every once in a while, we've got to remind them they can't just deny reality. And there are, in fact, truths. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Boomer, they're already wearing me out on the text line. Tony from Piedmont, come on, Tony, give a man a break. I said the Saturn rocket. He's like, it's a Saturn 1B.
It's a Saturn 1B.
It's still
come
a Saturn.
On.
Is it a Saturn rocket or is it a Saturn rocket? That's like saying I drive a Ford. It's a Ford Mustang. Yeah. I drive a Jeep. It's a Jeep Gladiator. What the frick? Okay, so I am sorry, Tony. You're right. I believe it is a Saturn 1B. There.
You said it.
He shall be texting me momentarily, I feel certain. John from Huntsville, already complimentary about the monologue. Appreciate you, John. As always, thank you so much. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. I'm going to want to know your opinions, by the way. Save the rocket or don't save the rocket. So just me personally, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of saving the rocket.
A fan. I'm totally a fan.
I love that rocket.
who's the one that is it? John? Who is it that hates us talking about the rocket? There's somebody.
Was it either John or JT? I forget.
Maybe
which.
It was JT.
Yeah, somebody would go, not the rocket.
Not the rocket again.
I like it, man. But you know, but I also realize there's work to be done, right? Yep. And we're going to find out about that. We're going to talk to Steve Thornton. He's been neck deep in this. He's an engineer, I believe. He's also the CEO of a company called Montesano Research, and he's put a lot of his own time and energy into this. Got studies, got analysis of the refurbishment, and his position, I think, is going to be very solid and very practical. You know, one of the things I think he's going to wind up, you know, elaborating on for us is the knowledge that the amount of money it would take to take it down and replace it with something else could just simply be used to refurbish what's there right now and preserve an actual piece of history. I mean, how many of these are left in the world? I think it's like three. This is a piece of history. So, I mean, anyway, I don't know, man, but I just look at it. People are already texting in. Rita from Scottsboro just says, save the rocket. I agree. All caps. Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you, Rita.
Brandy from Athens. Badger and I say, save the rocket.
That's right. Brandy and Badger.
Yes.
That's right. That's a yes. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brandy. Who else is in there? Marcus from Huntsville says, my wife's family's originally from Illinois. They moved down to Alabama. When they would drive back and forth to visit, they would always pull over and stop. My father-in-law would hold each child up to touch the rocket nozzle. Wow. Underneath the rockets. It has a huge history with my wife's family. They're not even originally from Huntsville or North Alabama. That's just cool. I can see this is a landmark. If you guys,
it is.
Yeah, who's some chucklehead somewhere just doesn't want to deal with it is what's happening. I guarantee you, just chuckleheads.
Chuckleheads.
But then again, there's probably some of y'all out there that could care less.
Yeah.
And you know, and here's the thing too: will our lives change if the rocket is gone? Not necessarily. But isn't it great when you can point out history? And I think there's a lot to be said for what might be called old NASA. Old NASA was a bunch of guys with, you know, slide scales and you know, counting things on an abacus and scratching it out on a chalkboard and putting people on the moon. And the Saturn rockets are an example of that. And this is one of them. This is one of the few. This is one of the remaining pieces of history that people can actually walk up and touch. So I'm all for it. Oh, man, text message coming in. Steve from Huntsville says, iconic, save it. I'm with you, Steve. John from Brownsboro said, I had an instructor in college who was, oh, hang on a second. This is going back to my monologue. He said, I had an instructor in college who was obviously adverse to my views. It was creative writing. However, my syntax and punctuation was so spot on, he couldn't give me a bad grade, and it frustrated him to no end. Good for you. Michael from Taft, Tennessee. What's wrong with doing something like they did with the Saturn V by laying it on its side and putting a building up and around it? I don't know the answer to that question, Michael. I really don't. I think part of it is just the fact that you drive up and down the interstate and you see it for, you know, a couple miles away, don't you?
You see it pretty far away.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's what's cool about it. But they could do that too. Lay it down.
Jeff from Indiana, who drives past it every single day, says, save it. For God's sakes, don't let it get so bad looking before they paint it again. There you go. Somebody who did not identify themselves. So tell us who you are and where you're from. The numbers end in 04. Says, save the rocket. Appreciate you. By the way, if you want to text in, text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. But when you do for the very first time, text us, you know, you'll text the word right side. It gives you an automatic message back. And then tell us who you are by first name and where you're from. We'll plug you into the system, and you'll be in there with the scads of people that we've got in the system.
That's right. And you can also tell them about what's going on your Twitter right now.
Dang, boom.
There you go.
I like how you slid that in. So yeah, if you're on Twitter... So we are now streaming on multi platforms, but the latest one is Twitter, which, you know, we come to find is probably one of those that you're least likely to get taken down off of. But the show is now streaming in a variety of places. If you're on Twitter, go follow us at, Boom, the brand new one is RS Ruffian.
Yes. RS Ruffian.
Yeah, at RS Ruffian. But you can also follow me. I do a lot more of my personal stuff, plus this show, on mine, which is at Sin, that's S-E-N, at Sin Phil Williams, and follow it and retweet or rebroadcast the live stream of the show. And what's cool is it's also up there in perpetuity. So if you miss the monologue or an interview and you want to go back and get it, there's a show with, you know, us sitting here in studio.
That's right.
Cool. Very cool. How many platforms are we on now?
We are on 5 different platforms.
You're the man.
It's pretty cool.
You're the man. All right. We got plenty of stuff laid on for you. Coming right back, we're going to jump into number one of the Triple Dipper, calling it Living a Lie. All right. So I understand that there are people that are going to have different beliefs than me. I get that. I'm not even going to oppose the fact that they have a right to their beliefs. The question I have is, at what point should it be okay for those beliefs that fly in the face of science and reality to then be allowed to, you know, be perpetrated, pushed on, pressed down on those of us in the community who don't believe? Yeah, you can kind of figure where I'm going. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. Yeah, the show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia and Tennessee, and even Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. So number one of the triple dipper, I'm calling it living a lie. Living a lie. So the genesis of this dipper and the fact that I just did that monologue a moment ago that I called denying reality, both of them came out of, you know, doing some research for the show this morning. I mean, sometimes I know what my monologue is going to be before I get to the day. A lot of times I don't. Sometimes I don't know till I start typing, I'll be honest. I mean, I get in there and I find a cause in my mind. I find a passion point. I find something that I feel like is important to convey, and it's just important to convey it in my own words, and so I do. Other times it gets triggered by something, and this article is one of those. So a piece that came out in The Federalist dated yesterday. The Federalist, by the way, is just got some great writers, but the Federalist has this piece. It's called Denying the Sexes is Bigger Than Bathrooms and Sports. It's about forcing us all to live a lie. That's the headline. By the way, all these resources, if you go to our website, rightsideradio.org, when you hear we've got a triple dipper and you hear me rattling the paper, you know that we've got all these resources laid on for each one of the dippers. You can go to the website, rightsideradio.org, go to the spot where it says live stream. At the top of that page, it has a button for resources. You hit it, and you'll get to every single article that we use for the show. Anyway, The Federalist has this piece by somebody named Rebecca Silo. I don't know who Rebecca Silo is. I've never truly followed her, but I like this article. She starts off by saying that those of us who fight on the gender ideology front tend to focus on one or two aspects. Some go after the issue of men posing in women's spaces. Some advocate about the unfairness of women's sports with men in them. Some point out the harm of, you know, housing dangerous women or men, excuse me, in women's prisons. Some highlight women being erased in language, or many also work diligently to prevent children from being, you know, mutilated and changed. And she goes on to say, I hear that many people say if they leave the women and kids alone, the gender controversy would die down. If males dressed as females would just stay out of women's spaces, they'd be more accepted. But there's a much bigger issue here. The most offensive component, she says, is the denial of reality. So it goes on to say, in a different spot here, we're told that trans people have been around forever. We just haven't noticed them. If that's the case, then why is there a problem now? Because today is the first time they are no longer presenting as women or vice versa, and they are now biologically and legally being recognized in every way as whatever they say they are. They've created the fantasy world, and we must live in it. And those who reject the fantasy will be punished. This is an extremely spot-on article, and that's exactly what we're dealing with, y'all. There is a lie being perpetrated on society that you can wake up one day and you can change your gender, and you can't. I have a law degree. I do not have a degree in medical sciences. In fact, I'll be first to admit that math and sciences were my most difficult subjects. Just were. But I have also got a worldview that is based upon years of experience, based upon being a somewhat well-read individual, and based upon having the common sense to look at the world around me and recognize that if you're born a male, you're a male. And if you're born a female, you're born a female. And the idea that you can notionally change that, and that we should all go, oh, look, I'm so sorry. I do recognize you as, name it, today. Do what you will. I mean, are you aware that there are laws that actually provide that women have a right to the question of security in their own minds? In other words, if a man wants to go into the women's room and the woman then feels threatened because the man came in, the woman has a legal right to a sense of security in places where she should otherwise have privacy. It's real. I wrote a piece on it years ago. But we're fighting right now not just a culture war, but a war about rationality and common sense and norms. And folks, I'm telling you, they are determined that we should live a lie. And they will tell us that when they come into bathrooms and locker rooms or get involved in women's sports and win all the medals, or that when a man who says he's a woman gets put into a woman's prison, that we'll never have an issue. Or for that matter, that when you erase the word male from biological studies in schools and replace it with, you know, birthing people and persons who produce sperm, like we talked about yesterday, you look at it and go, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And somebody sits there at their desk coming up with the stuff going, well, I think this would be the way to handle it. What a stupid thing to do. I mean, this is the height of jackassery. But the truth is, even trying to deal with this from a position of patience, because I'll be honest with you, I don't hold ill will against people who have a different belief. No, I don't. If you have a different belief, if you, for that matter, have an issue that you're struggling with, like gender dysphoria, I hold no judgment for that. Where I have a problem is when you inflict it upon other people and demand that you be accommodated for something that is of your own persuasion. For instance, for a parent to tell a minor child, "You're just not in the right body. We need to change you." That's a sick and an abusive position to be in. The law says in every other aspect of that child's life that the child does not have capacity to make decisions and should be protected, should be allowed the right to grow up and make their own decisions in certain ways as an adult, cannot make medical decisions on their own, cannot drive till a certain point, cannot buy alcohol, cannot join the military, cannot vote. Do not, in Alabama, reach the age of majority until the age of 19. They cannot have sexual relations with an adult because that's considered statutory rape. Statutory in that is in the statutes that the age makes the difference of the child, because a minor child cannot be seen to have given consent for something, and that the adult is considered to be the person who had the sway over the child. And therefore, the adult is responsible. All that to say, what we're looking at right now, though, is a complete rewriting of the norms, and we're being told to live a lie. In the middle of all this, I will say, there's some moments. Like yesterday, I talked about the fact that you got that dude who identifies now as a woman, who ran as a guy in the New York City Marathon last year, who ran this past weekend in the London Marathon, and beat out 14,000 other women, and was proud and took a medal. Just, you know, wow. But after granting an interview, standing there in his sports bra, a dude standing there in a sports bra with a rainbow flag, he announcing soon that he was about to be a granny. He was so excited. Okay, you know what? But then the backlash began. And now he's saying, look, if they want me to give my medals back, I'll say, okay, I'm fine, no problem. If they think I've stolen the place of a female runner, I don't mind giving the medal back because I'll just run again next year for charity. But I don't want to apologize. I didn't do anything wrong. Well, you don't do anything wrong until someone has has no choice in experiencing loss because of you. So when a female athlete experiences loss of a scholarship or loss of a position on a national team or loss of an All-American title, guess what? They've experienced loss because you are living a lie. And biologically, you know it. And yet we're being told, get in line. You know, here in Alabama, we got an odd situation. One of the most conservative states in the nation. And we have, you know, very few means of what I would call school choice, which is still kind of antithetical to being a conservative state, I think. But nonetheless, one of the means by which we do have some school choice is the charter school law. Charter schools are not private schools. Charter schools are public schools. Are you aware that we have an LGBTQ charter school in Birmingham? Did you know that? It freaks people out when you tell them the first time. Do you know that, Boomer?
Nope, not till this morning.
I saw the look on your face. You saw it this morning when you were doing the resources with me?
Yep, I did.
So I am not at all for kids being bullied. And if the kids were bullied where they were before, that's a leadership issue. And schools need to do their job and uphold the existing laws and procedures and policies and safety provisions that are already in place. Bullying for any reason is wrong. But then do we continue to build a victimhood mentality by saying, listen, all of the gay kids can come to this school by themselves? Are you wanting to talk or what?
I was thinking about it.
Okay.
Well, isn't that just like the segregation thing of black schools, white schools, now trans schools, and all this other stuff?
Well, yeah, back in the day, even when they were still segregated, they would say, well, separate but equal, and it never was.
Right.
But in this case, they have self-segregated, and you look at it and go, why is that good? Now, let me ask you this. In our own minds, let's debate a minute. both of us have kids that have experienced a Christian school environment.
Right.
But it was a private school.
Correct.
So, and then we're talking about right now school choice laws that would allow public dollars to go to a kid to even go to a private Christian school if the parents wanted them to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we in the same mode here? Are we? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Because I think in this time, they're asking us to accept a worldview that is not based in reality. And they would say, some would say, well, I don't believe in your God, therefore that's your reality. But I still look at it and go, let's talk about societal norms. Let's talk about cultural mores. Let's talk about biology. Because a lot of the kids at this school now, it's called the Magic City Acceptance Academy. And I'm not asking for anybody to call them or go there. I'm not. In fact, I don't want you to. Let it be. But be aware. Because right now, public school dollars in Birmingham are going to the Magic City Acceptance Academy. And they pride themselves, no pun intended, they pride themselves on being the LGBTQ-affirming charter school. You caught that joke, didn't you? I didn't mean for it, but there it was. They just had their first prom last year. 11 seniors, several of which are identifying as transgender. And the kids say things like, you know, at my old school, I couldn't go to the bathroom by myself because I was afraid somebody would hurt me. Well, you were going to the bathroom that didn't belong to your sex. And there were people who didn't want you in that room because it freaked them out. They would say, they would never be leaving me alone, they said. And a gay student couldn't go to the prom with a same-sex date. Well, you probably could, but you were already in a school where bullying is not allowed. And so the thing is, what I find interesting is in the Christian school environment, it's about everybody. And I've taught in a Christian school environment. Boomer, you went to Christian school.
Yeah.
My wife taught there. And there were a number of kids. I can remember Jewish kids and kids of other, you know, denominational faiths that didn't match the exact makeup of the school itself, but who went to school there, and none of them were denied anything. What's interesting here is, at Magic City Acceptance Academy, it's never about the other kids. If someone was uncomfortable with you being in the bathroom with them because you're not of the same biological sex, it was their problem, not yours. You were the one asking them to deny reality and accept you immediately and allow you to be in their space. And that's a different story. Magic City Acceptance Academy, the Alabama State Department of Education, this article points out that I got from alabamaeducation.org, does not have any policies or protections in place, it says, to specifically support LGBTQ students. They don't have to have them in place. They have policies to protect students. If you want to go ahead and start differentiating everybody by their demographic makeup or, for that matter, their biological claims, it's a whole new day. Okay, so now we should have, I don't know, what, Department of Education policies on how to handle, name your demographic, Asian students, Black students, Hispanic students. You want a separate one apparently for gay students? It doesn't work like that. You have protections for students. The fact is, you just wanted more. You wanted people to condone everything about you living the lie that we believe you're living. I got more on this. I got a lot more. This is my rational basis discussion on living a lie and why we should be able to look at it, see it, and decide to just not agree with it. And you should not be allowed to then be persecuted for just choosing not to believe it, especially when we recognize that what it's really doing is living a lie. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We're talking about number one of the Triple Dipper, living a lie. You said you had a text you wanted to read. What was that?
Yeah, it was a new texter, Bud, from North Alabama.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He says, they say to accept them for who they are when they could not accept who they were.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's deep.
That is deep.
That's deep. That's deep in brief form. That's great.
Right. Wow. Thank you, bud.
Yeah, man. Bud, glad you're in the system. We got some other new tech. I saw Ranger 4-3 from Atala.
Correct.
Cool. And then also Darlene K from Gadsden. I know who that is. I love that lady.
And then Michelle from Ohatchee,
Alabama. No kidding.
Yep.
Man, we're covered up around here in Northeast Alabama today.
Yeah, we are.
All right, cool. We're adding new textures like by the minute, it seems like, right now.
Hotcakes.
So you're sure there's no limit to how many we can have in the system?
I'm 99% sure.
So you're saying there's a chance. Okay, no, that's all right. No, that's good. All right, that's great, man. That's cool. Y'all keep on texting on in. If you text in for the very first time, just text the word right side. And you'll get the automated message back that says, hey, right side ruffian, tell us who you are and where you're from. We'll plug you in the system. The number is 833-687-4448. Just a little bit more about that LGBTQ school that's a charter school in Birmingham. It's called the Magic City Acceptance Academy. They just had their first prom. And the article, the glowing article, multi-page article that we've got posted up on today's resources that just talks about what an amazing thing it was for the school to host a fundraiser in which teachers did drag dances. And you just look at that. Okay, that was not just a public library where some people brought their kids to see the drag queens. No, this was the school itself being paid for with tax dollars, and the faculty were the ones performing. I just find myself believing that this is something that if someone would just stop for a moment and think this through, they might go, you know, that's a really bad idea. But when you live in an environment where anything goes, but then you also find yourself thinking, are these kids, though, And by the way, I don't hold any enmity toward them. I disagree with the lifestyle that they've chosen, and I disagree with the lifestyle that some of them are being foisted on them, I believe. And at the same time, I also recognize that in my view, in my worldview, in my faith view, I believe that God does not make mistakes. And so that when a child is born, male or female, it's because God said, that's the best one. I want that young man. I want that young lady. And I want that John, that Jane. I want them to grow up, to flourish, and I want them to be the best they can be, and I made them that way because it was important. So for a parent or another adult in their life to look at them and say, you know, you're just wrong. You're made wrong. You know, we got to change you. We got to fix you. We got to medicate you. We got to cut parts off of you so that you can be right. To me, that's abuse of the first order. That is undermining the ability of a child to ever feel anything but a victim. And this school, I mean, the first thing that happened, and if you remember the gubernatorial election, Tim James was running for governor, and he put out a piece, he put out a campaign ad, and he said, why do we have a public school that is got transgender drag shows being foisted by, you know, faculty members? Why do we have that? Fair question. The school says they felt so threatened by it, they had to hire additional security. Did something ever happen? No. Did somebody go threaten them? No. Did bricks get thrown through their windows? No. None of that happened. But when you continue to perpetrate a victim mentality on everyone in the room, they believe they're always at risk. They believe they're always the victim. And they grow up to believe a victim because you've got them living the lie that they can't be right until they're fixed and they have to hunker down in a corner and live with other people who are just living the lie with them. That's sad. I got a few more on this. We'll wrap it up here in the next segment. Y'all stay with me. These are just Phil's musings, if you will, on a very important topic. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, local, state, national. Man, we cover all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, just plain right. All right, well, let's continue this conversation. Living a lie, I'm calling it. There's an article I pulled today from hotair.com. Great piece. Once again, all these resources are up on the website. Go to the live stream portion of rightsideradio.org. Click on the resources. Every article you hear me rattling paper of, there's a link to it under their different triple dipper headlines. So hotair.com has a piece by David Strom called Insanity is Being Normalized. Great piece. Very, very thoughtful, very cogent. Starts off by saying, what if you destroy the norms and definitions that give shape to our lives and our basic understanding of the world? And he goes on to talk about the fact that's exactly what's happening. They are doing all that they can, the left, they're doing all that they can to change literally the idea that there are absolutes. And there's a couple of brief pieces here that I want to quote from his article. At one point he says, with regards to the living a lie gender bending that we're talking about right now, he said it really isn't about the gender theory, at least not only the gender theory. It's about undermining your basic understanding of how the universe works and replacing it with nothing really. Every concept is always in flux, always on the spectrum, and totally indefinable, literally indefinable. Gender theory is just very effective because, one, it empowers the shock troops. You've seen them. And, two, it really screws with your head on the most basic level. We know man and woman from basically the beginning of our lives. It's a foundational piece of knowledge. But if you can eliminate a category so basic, what can't you do? And that's a great question. Why are we seeing this rush to strip the world of true defining matters, base level issues, biology? He points out, too, he said he's even met some who will claim that gravity is really a social construct. Okay. Says gravity is a social construct. He said he had this conversation once with a critical theorist in grad school who claimed that gravity was an expression of white supremacy. But he says, but none of these people will jump out of windows believing they won't hit the ground. They don't act like they believe what they say because they don't. They simply change the definition of the words they say without cluing you in, and their goal is to create insanity in others. Insanity as in the dissociation of our lived experiences with that of reality. That's it, man. What they want you to do is live a lie, because at that point you have given in. You are willing to have the most basic matters of social normality, of sanity, of true reality, you're willing to have those just taken away from you. Well, guess what? If they can do that, they can change anything. And they can make light of it. And they can redefine what matters. There's a really sad story continuing here, getting back to our home state of Alabama, because you'd love to believe, by the way, we're in Alabama. This is happening in San Francisco, man. This is a Chicago thing. This is what they do up there in crazy Minnesota. How about this article? This was reported out of a California press, but it happened in Alabama last October, just a few months back. We're talking, what is that, 7 months ago, 6 months ago? A trans teen committed suicide, which is a horrible thing. God bless him. But the doctor at UAB that was discussing this, because UAB and Children's Hospital, both here in Alabama, same city in which we have the, you know, Magic City Acceptance Academy, gave a speech, and it was caught on tape, in which this doctor talks about, and I won't say the child's name, but the quote is, in the final days of 2014, a local 16-year-old stepped boldly in front of a tractor trailer, ending her life. Boldly. So at that point, what just happened was, it was a trans student. At that point, what happened is that UAB doctor, who I believe headed up part of the gender dysphoria clinic, is not only now in full acceptance mode of the alternative reality that says you can be that which you were not born, But she is also now saying, and it's bold, to commit suicide when things don't go your way. And that person is a medical practitioner. And I would love to know how many of her, you know, patients are at risk. UAB, by the way, story from May of last year, talks about the fact that after we passed that VCAP bill, the Vulnerable Child and Protection Bill, Alabama being the first, by the way, at your state of Alabama was the first one in the country to put one of those major bans in place on transgender therapies and surgeries against minors. Praise God. But nonetheless, Texas and Arkansas followed suit very soon. And of course, every one of them gets sued. But the story that I've got here from AL.com talks about the fact that Children's Hospital and UAB, they had to go ahead and stop doing what they were doing, and they were standing by waiting to see if they were going to be allowed to reconvene. But then you got Tennessee right to our north. They jumped on this year. Man, they went through it. So piece off the National Review dated today. Just so you know, that as we question whether or not this reality being perpetrated upon us is a bunch of activists, understand this, it's also right now your government. Under the Biden administration, this is seen as the way we should go. This is seen as a thing we should fight for. We should make sure that we tell more kids that they are just not who they were supposed to be. We cannot possibly affirm them for how they were born. We have to affirm them for something they're not, so they constantly feel like they can never quite attain. Let's make sure we put the impossible task in front of them of being that thing which you just cannot be. The little boy wants to be a girl. The little girl wants to be a boy. That's okay, kid. We'll give you a lifetime of medical treatments and surgeries. It'll be great. And you will become a permanent victim for the rest of your life. But it's okay. We're there for you. Well, yesterday, Tennessee passed their bill. Just a few months ago, National Review has a piece that points out that just yesterday, the Biden Department of Justice filed suit against the state of Tennessee. Your government, your tax dollars, trying to mandate that states allow people to live a lie. The Department of Justice says submitted a court filing Wednesday challenging a Tennessee law that prohibits transgender surgical procedures and hormonal treatments for minors, intervening in an ongoing federal lawsuit asking the court to strike down the law before it takes effect on July 1st. The law was just signed in March by Tennessee Governor Bill Lee. They claim it violates the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause, the DOJ argued. Left unchallenged, said the U.S. attorney, left unchallenged, it would prohibit transgender children from receiving health care that their medical providers and parents have determined to be medically necessary. Let's make sure we're clear. It's elective. There is no life-saving going on. When they say medically necessary or gender-affirming, what they're really saying is, we just want the elective. And oh, by the way, it's not gender-affirming, it's gender-revising. ACLU last week had filed suit, and now the Department of Justice has taken over and filed suit with them and joined the suit in an effort to shut down the law of the state of Tennessee. Just, you know, because that's what your government does right now. All that to say, folks, listen, here's the deal. Nothing about this show is ever designed to tell you that we hate anyone. No, and I hope that no one out there would ever construe that. Do we disagree? Absolutely. And we have a right to disagree. But I will say this. As an attorney, I'll just tell you, in legal parlance, there are times when I go to court and I know that there's an issue of burden of proof, and the burden of proof is on one side or the other. I don't walk in every time with the burden of proof being on me. Sometimes it's the claims made by the other side, and the law says the burden of proof is on them. In this case, I would say that those who believe that the reality has to shift, and that somehow now we've finally discovered that men can be women and women can be men, I would say the burden of proof is on them. But they can't prove it, so they just demand it. And we, as citizens who believe in conservative and even Christian policies that say, no, that's not good. No, that's not right. No, that's not reality. We cannot sit idly by and just go, okay, we'll go along to get along, because when you do, you lose. Because they won't be satisfied there. Because if they can change the very basis of biological determination, if they can look you in the eye and say, all those things that you know to be true, they're not. If they can do that when it comes to who's male, who's female, they can do it about anything. Because then there are no absolutes. All right. That one was bottled up inside me and it had to get out, man. But let's do this. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got to go to the text lines because it apparently blew up again. And then coming up bottom of the half hour, you're going to want to stay tuned because this is where we have a lot of fun. Boomer and McQueen, 3:30. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, just be mindful of the fact that coming up here in just a little bit, like what, 10 minutes, we'll be on the air for Boomer and McQueen. You're going to want to be a part of that. Man, the text lines blew up, so I will try to jump on those. But first, I have a phone call. Go to line one, Dorothy Huntsville. How are you?
Hi. I'm in hungry day, but... I have a few questions about something coming to town here.
Okay.
Did you know there's a drag show coming to Huntsville?
Well, is it a drag show or is it a drag show for kids?
Yeah, like RuPaul's Drag Show, you know, where they all dress up in like, you know, Vegas style. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if it's to be age restricted and if there are any minor children in this. Now, recently on the scroll, I saw something pop up, Live to TikTok, and there was a 13-year-old boy dressed up, you know, like a woman, had long braided hair and was swinging his, you know, head and hair around and, you know, in a stripper-looking outfit. And there were adult people cheering this on, men. And I didn't know if this was like a fashion show. It looked like possibly it was like a runway.
I don't know, Dorothy. I mean, I think the reality is if it's an adult show, I mean, there's not much we can say about that because there wouldn't be a violation of the law. If they're bringing minor kids into it, I don't know the answer to that. I've not been looking at, you know, I've not been studying up on what's coming to Huntsville. But if you're telling me they've got it like at a public library for a drag queen story hour, or if they've got some other, you know, bring your children family friendly drag show, that's different.
Well, it's, I know Tennessee's banned this. I mean, yeah, it's age restricted. It's considered a cabaret, which is adult entertainment. So, I mean, if this is coming to Huntsville, you know, it should be age restricted and there shouldn't be any minor children in this. I mean, I'd have the FBI raid the tour to see what, you know, who all is in there.
Well, I would agree with you that it has to be age restricted. It should be. And there's a constant trend to try and, you know, break all societal norms on this stuff. But if you find out that it's being touted as bring your kids, your minor children, let me know. All right. Hey, Dorothy, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. Mm-hmm. Got a bunch of texts, man. Wow. We got so many new texters today all at one time. Cameron from Decatur is a brand new texter. We appreciate it. Is Elroy from Huntsville, is that also new? It is. Elroy from Huntsville says, hey, Phil, regarding the school choice bill, can we just primary every, he says every jackass, involved in playing these games? I'm a teacher in the Huntsville area, and I want school choice, but not giving Alabama parents what they want is jackassery. So I think what I'm hearing from Elroy from Huntsville is that he's agreeing that school choice is the way to go. So appreciate you, Elroy. Thank you. Glad you're in the audience. Amanda from Decatur, you are not. What is happening right there? Is this a long? I got a long series of texts and I can't tell what they're trying to tell me. And then you're not 16, you are 30. I don't know what that means. Okay, but nonetheless, thank you, Amanda. Appreciate you. Michelle from Huntsville. Phil, I suggest if men are offended by their male by their male parts and want a trans, then we just send them ASAP to Lorena Bobbitt. I'm not even going down that road no more. I'm done with that one. All right, Chris from Hartsel, brand spanking new in the text line. Glad to have you, Chris from Hartsel. Jeff from Indiana just took some pictures of the rocket as he was driving by. It's still there. They're redoing that whole rest stop, but that rocket still stands. Thank you, Jeff Rowe. John from Huntsville says, "Living a lie sounds like the autobiography of Joe Biden." Okay. Who else we got in here? Michelle from Mohatchee says, "This stuff is absolutely ridiculous. So what happens when my five-year-old grandson goes to school and tells me he wants to be a lizard today? And tomorrow he wants to dress up like a girl. I mean, where's the common sense of these people? Kids have vivid imaginations. They have no idea what half of this trans stuff means anyway." Great point. I mean, Boomer, your little guy couldn't find his shoes some days, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, he puts on two different shoes all the time.
Yeah, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
That's what parents are for, is to lovingly redirect, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. March yourself back in there and get the two blue shoes, please, yep. Right now. Yeah, this just goes on and on. The text line's just covered up. John from Brownsboro says, person who produces sperm, person who produces eggs. I think there's a couple of words for that, male, female. Indeed. Two words, male, female. Sandy from Elkmont says, this is the only way I can wrap my mind around the liberal left ideology, Romans 1:28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which they are not fitting. He did. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we could find in Scripture that look a lot like what we're seeing today, and they ain't good. Thank you, Sandy. Bob from Athens, I'm going to have my Greyhound identify as a track star. Okay.
I like that.
I do too. That one gets a little applause. Let's applaud that one. I think that was worthy of. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Bob from Athens in the area all day. Thank you very much. Brad from Limestone says, working from home equals right side radio on the big TV in the background. Ooh. Appreciate you, Brad. Thank you very much. Thumbs up for you, Brad, right there in the camera. Dan from Rogersville, formerly from Chicago. He says, seeing the rocket out there lets my wife and I know that we are home sweet home. He says, I also appreciate history. Thank you. We're going to have a whole conversation on that top of the 4 o'clock hour. JT from Lacey Springs, rest stop rocket, just another attempt, sadly, to put history on a chopping block. Okay, so JT from Lacey Springs is for the rocket. So we clarify.
JT is for the rocket. For the rocket.
Yes, that too. That and the rocket. Ike from Somerville says, if it were a woke or racist, they would want to get rid of it. Save the rocket. Yeah. Bruce from Hazel Green, you had it right, Phil. Chuckleheads are the people down in Montgomery. They don't want to spend money on things that are important. Save the rocket. TL from Huntsville, if we don't save the Saturn 1B, Colorado will use it as an excuse to complain all the more about Alabama getting Space Force. You know?
Ooh,
they don't even care about their history. Don't let them have Space Command.
You know they'll say that.
They're already saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike from Athens, can we just call it the woke rocket, and then we can have funding for days and days? See, that one deserves some applause, too, I'm pretty sure. Just go ahead. In fact, I am pretty sure, Boomer, I'm pretty sure that one sizzled, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
I don't have time to do the sizzle.
We don't?
Nope, because I'm playing music.
Oh, crap. All right. All right. We got Save the Rocket from Kevin from Hartsville. Scott from Athens says, if we could just get Elon Musk's attention with a GoFundMe, save the rocket. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show broadcast its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. So, it's that time. It's my favorite time of every single week. I'm laughing because, okay, that was funny. So it's that time. It's that favorite time of the week. It is time for Boomer and McQueen. McQueen has just entered the studio and then told her husband, turn that camera towards me. Turn that camera towards me right now.
If the camera's, it's all about me. I see two of Mr. Phil there.
How you doing?
I am great, because you probably got a little view of this fun stuff right by me. So,
yes, because apparently it's somebody's birthday.
Yeah.
And so you're just, what, 47 this week?
Something like that.
47?
You would be upset about that. I don't really care. Age is a number. 36.
Boomer, have you got a sound effect?
I do.
Oh, I'm ready. The best.
He did it. All I did was say thumbs up, go for it. Yeah, happy birthday, McQueen.
Thank you very much.
Outstanding. Glad you're here. You're sharing your day with us. All right, you guys, you know the deal. Boomer and McQueen, it's that segment where I've got these two folks who do things in the background, sometimes the foreground, Boomer, that make it all work. I mean, I don't know what these buttons do, and I can't have time to get out there and do stuff to round up support in the community all the time. So I got folks like y'all, but you have opinions.
Lord, we do.
Boomer, does she have opinions?
She has opinions.
So that being said, I got questions. I want your opinions. Here's the first one. We just talked about this before you walked in. So Boomer has the benefit of having heard a whole discussion on it. But the Magic City Acceptance Academy, it's a charter school in Birmingham for LGBTQ kids. And it's funded with state dollars. Just start and give me your thoughts on this. And by the way, how do we condone something like this without actually condemning? I mean, how do we not condone, without being seen as condemning? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll have to go back and listen to that part of the segment because I haven't heard it yet.
I'm sorry.
That would be helpful. I've heard of this school. Gosh. It breaks my heart, really, because, it breaks my heart for the kids, because it's not their fault. It's the, parents that are putting kids in these schools and the people that have made these schools, come into place and agree, and give it that charter acceptance, I guess, is what it has to, right? It has to be, approved by the city and the state. And it's just so sad to me. And I think, so much of why we've even gotten here is because we've pointed the finger and we blame, and that thing that's so wrong. And even just, in biblically, how do we get rid of evil? How do we get rid of the darkness? Well, we need to expose it to the light, and we need to be speaking truth, and be speaking truth about to these people, about these schools, to the schools, as opposed to just pointing fingers and blaming and why? Because it's easy to go there, and I think that's so much. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of reasons why we're even in the situation and where we are culturally, but I think a lot of it's from pointing fingers and blaming, and. I think a lot of the reasonings behind it is these kids don't feel accepted in school, or they're scared to go to school, or they're bullied at school. Well, shame on all of us for bullying. That's a problem. But again, this you feel for the kids because it's the adults that have put all this into place. And what was the question again?
I think you got it. I think you did. You take it for a minute, Boomer. What are your thoughts on
this? Okay, well, when I first heard about it this morning when I was doing the resources, because I did not know there was a school.
I remember it was a year ago that it was. I remember when this was passed and they had their first calendar year.
Well, I did not. So I was a little furious this morning, honestly. I mean, just that was my first initial reaction. And then after reading a little bit of the article and then talking about it, at the beginning of the show and stuff, for me, it's similar to what you were just saying. As Christians, we're here to love and love each and every single person for who they are. Do we agree with what they're, the way that they're living their life? No. I believe that's a sin. But for an adult to tell a child, oh, you know what? You're a mistake. We can get, we can fix you. Like what we were talking about earlier, I fully and utterly believe that is completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking for any person of a nature that is in a role of
authority
like leadership. Teachers, mm-hmm. or being in that school or anything like that. I can't believe that they're you know, continuing to do, like, telling these children that this is okay for you. And we're, you know, for you to be able to transition or something, that is okay.
So let me ask you, it's paid for, though, with state tax dollars. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about that aspect of it?
Oh, it's infuriating. I mean, that part of it's infuriating. Because, you know, like what Boomer was just saying, I mean, these are adults that are allowing kids thoughts and opinions and, you know, roller coaster emotions, which we all have, to dictate who they are and their identity. I mean, that's like me waking up in the morning with a lion's mane of hair and going, I'm a lion. Like, I mean, it's that ridiculous. It really is. You're laughing because it's so true. But that's like, that's basically what they're doing. It's like, oh, you feel like that? You think that? Then that's what you are.
Yeah.
And they're enabling that.
And they're enabling that.
Yes.
And then we're paying for that enablization.
Right. Yeah, with our tax dollars for that, okay, I still wouldn't fully understand it in my head even if it was a private school, but if it was a private school, that at least they're paying to go there right now instead of using our tax dollars.
You know, one of the things about a charter school too is it has to maintain its credentialing and all that kind of stuff. It has to meet its charter. Mm-hmm. They can lose their charter. Mm-hmm. So they could be 2 years in and they're failing across the board and they lose their charter. I would say this, if they're so focused on the social, if they're so focused on what kind of students come there as opposed to what they're teaching, which is what they're there for.
Right.
Then I would say they're at risk of losing their charter. Here's the other thing. Every kid in that school should fail biology because a school that has a biology textbook that teaches the truth about scientific biology is also saying, and by the way, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You don't have to disregard the textbook. And so every kid in that school is probably failing biology because nothing is real.
Right. And then also on top of that, now the school is allowing the teachers to do the drag shows for the children.
Oh, yeah.
This was the school that was doing that for like a history, like a fundraiser.
It was a fundraiser.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think so. Which one of you said it? I guess it was you, McQueen, said, you know, how much we feel for this. You know, so if we're gonna be well reasoned individuals and also walk in the light of Christ and also, by the way, try to hold true to conservative actual principles, then at some point we have to have the ability to convey how we feel. And I think we're being assaulted every day so much with the opinions on this stuff, to include things like an LGBTQ only using Alabama state tax dollars, mm-hmm. that you look at it and go, dang, can we possibly get hit over the head more? Yeah. But our role in that is to remain even keeled, stand on principle, believe in truth, and don't let them try to deny reality.
Right, and speak truth.
And speak truth. Mm-hmm. In love. Speak truth in love.
Speak truth in love. And mm-hmm. like what Terry Lathan was doing yesterday, just having people go and speak truth. Not saying any riots or anything like that, but when there's things available to vote on or to speak up to your representatives, do it and speak truth in love.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, and by the way, I said a moment ago, LGBTQ only. No, they do accept kids who are not LGB, but they are an LGBTQ affirming academy. That's what their charter was for. Mm. Anyway,
that's mind blowing. That's here in the state of Alabama when there's so few of them.
It is.
Like crazy to me.
And you look at you would think the demographics of our state, the political persuasions of our state, would say that's not going to happen here. I mean, mm-hmm. it may happen in California, but no, it happened here. I think it's the very first one in the nation.
Dang. Mm.
How's that even happen? Who was asleep at the wheel?
Oh, way to go, Alabama.
I'll tell you what, man, we took that one all the way to the break, Boomer. Let's go ahead and do it right now. We'll do that. We'll come right back with question number two. I got to hear what they think about the way the Biden campaign rolled out. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams with Boomer and McQueen, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Heading into the top of the hour, keep in mind that coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll have Steve Thornton calling in, talking about the attempt to save the rocket, which I'm all for, man. So, yeah, save the rocket's coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, we're going right back to Boomer and McQueen, which I think we need to whoop-whoops, man. So, by the way, Boomer's got a rack of buttons over there that have different sound effects, and he has little pictures on all of them. What picture do you have on the whoop-whoops for Boomer McQueen?
I actually have an owl dabbing. Oh,
yeah. And it That's says appropriate.
All right. Hey, listen. Okay, here's the next question. So, President Biden, I assume he knows he did this, but President Biden announced just the other day his campaign for re-election. There was no fanfare. There was no big speech. There was no crowd. There wasn't even a microphone. He pre-recorded it, and in the words of Alicia, who is the cat herder here at Right Side, he just phoned it in. So here's my thoughts for you. He's going to be 82 when he's elected. It was that kind of rollout. Give me your unvarnished thoughts. Who's got it first?
Oh, boy. Okay, so he could have gone on any news platform. I didn't even say it. Sorry, I'm taking it.
It's
sorry.
Her birthday.
It's her birthday. Would right you like to go?
I would love to listen to you first.
He could have gone on any news platform, anywhere, and gotten some type of
in any country,
hooray.
For that matter.
The what?
In any country,
in
for that
any
matter.
Country. I mean, he could have gone anywhere. He could have, I mean, if it, could have announced it on Twitter like Trump probably would have, maybe. Who knows? But, I mean, and there would have been a huge reaction.
A bad one, which is why he didn't do it.
Exactly.
So he lives in fear is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
In the basement.
Exactly. He did not want to do it in any sort of public format because of the response would not have been good.
I don't think so.
Not at all.
Oh, no, not at all. And then today it was announced, right, that he's not going to do any debates.
Last night.
Last night.
There will be no debates.
That, to me, is, like, ridiculous. That is just, it's madness. Like, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Trump. I don't care who you are. You need to win over the American people. And you need to be able to present your ideas and have open and fair dialogue with other people. Because there's a lot of good candidates that, you know, I mean, wait, I should keep some opinions to myself. There are a lot of candidates that need to have open dialogue and I think it's Elon Musk. It's like there's way too much backroom dealing. Amen to that. They need to have open dialogue together, all of them, and share what they're going to do. Like,
and I tell you what, debates also do it. You find out quickly whether they can react on their feet.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, a video is done by script.
Yeah. Oh, a complete script and editing and stuff like that. I know how all that video editing stuff works. I actually worked in the movie industry, and you can see all the different cuts and stuff like, oh man, they can make it look one seamless, like there's one seamless, like a complete thought, and it definitely was not.
Oh, you know that that was like 34 takes.
Oh, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, and I agree. I mean, I find it just, to me, it's nauseating that the person that wants to be in charge of the nuclear codes, the person that wants to be the leader of the free world, so to speak, the person that sets policy that impacts what? I guess it's, what are we? We're like 320-something million people. I forgot what our population is right now. But the person who wants to have all of that authority does not even want to stand on a stage next to people who also want the job and try to present himself as being the best candidate.
Right. Right. And his statement was, what, let's finish what we started?
Yeah.
Whoop. Whoa.
Oh, it was like, let's fight for the American soul. pretty sure we lost it, first of all. Oh, but yeah. I think Goodness. It was Tucker Carlson. Like he said, you know, I mean, just like, I think this was like yesterday or something. He was like, you know, truth like needs to be, you know, we need to speak truth, but like they're the evil and the evil powers, like they know that they are losing control. They are not going to have it much longer. So now at this point, they're not even trying to persuade. They're just using force. And that's exactly what this is.
Wow. Great, great point. Yeah. I think you guys nailed it. I think it was about the lamest rollout you could have. A guy who's already president of the United States. And like you said, Boomer, he could have gone on any network he wanted to or held a speech and had a crowd come. Couldn't, just had to phone it in. And I think that's you got it?
Yep. A total just. It was a total bomb.
Did you see though that someone was like saying that to like Elon Musk, like that there should be Twitter debates basically, and if any candidate pulls out, then they shouldn't be taken seriously, and there would be consequences. And so Elon's like, well, we're going to use this platform for good for both sides. So
nice.
I hope that's what happens.
That's Twitter, why we're also streaming the show on Twitter now.
Yes, Twitter exactly. Campaign. Yes, I like it.
All right, we got about what 3.5-4 minutes left. So yeah, this is the scary part for me, where I agree to just take any question from either one of y'all. What question, pray tell? Are you looking at the birthday girl like it's her chance to ask?
I'm giving her the chance to ask the first question.
Well, thank you. I'll go first. So this is like looking into your magic eight ball. What do you think? What's Tucker Carlson going
to
do next?
Why do you have to whisper? Why do you have to whisper?
Oh, because I don't know. Okay. What's Tucker Carlson going to do next?
All right. Shh. Don't tell anybody, but here's what I think.
Yeah, no,
keep
it on the DL.
Just us talking, right? Okay. Great question. So I anticipate, first of all, that Tucker will have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
His gift is communication, and he's got an extremely analytical and yet common sense way of conveying thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been any number of times when I have felt, be honest with you, I have felt, affirmed when I go home and he talks about what I just talked about a few hours ago, and I'm like, yeah. But other times I'll hear him say something, I'll think, I wish I'd thought to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a gift for that. He also is willing to speak truth to power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know what went on the background. I don't know his personal life. I've seen him on some very off-the-cuff interviews. I saw a video of somebody, kind of an activist person, who confronted him while he's out fly fishing. I mean, he's a normal dude. He goes fly fishing. He dips constantly. He finally quit dipping and uses one of those little caffeine tabs.
Packs.
Yeah, the packs. Yeah. Not caffeine, nicotine tab packs. But so he's a normal dude in a lot of ways. And this guy confronted him while he was out fishing, just having a moment by himself. And he just handled it so well. And I thought, okay, so maybe he's common sense all the time. I don't know. But what do I think he's going to do? I think he's going to wind up either A, because he's a multi-gazillionaire, I believe. Either A, he's going to form his own network and just pound it. Or B, he's going to get picked up by something like Glenn Beck's Blaze TV or Daily Wire. And it's going to take them to the next level because they're already big in their own right, but they're going to add Tucker Carlson, who could, I mean, I'm hearing rumors he's getting offers that are like in the 100 million range, you know, just to come on board.
Yeah.
So either on his own. Now the one, I will say this, one of our listeners, I've forgotten who it was now, texted in the other day and said, Tucker Carlson for a vice presidential candidate.
That's what I'm thinking. Yes. I'm like, maybe he should be on the ticket with Trump or something like that. I'm about
sure,
that.
I am pretty sure that would get a lot of attention.
Yes.
The question I have, though, is would he work for Trump? Because, I love Trump's policies. I think Trump is the right person we needed for the job, and I'm waiting to see how he holds up now in the next campaign round. But Trump burns through people.
Mm-hmm.
Burns through people like, you know, a hot knife through butter. And we've seen some wonderful people like Jeff Sessions just get scalded. But so I don't know if Tucker wants to put himself in that position.
Yeah.
Right. But
he's such an even-keeled, like, level-headed guy that...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Since we're good buddies and all, that's what I...
Well, you know what's funny? You say that. But I think one of the things about Tucker that was so successful was he could be on the air, and you almost felt like you knew the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because... He would laugh constantly. He has that kind of maniacal laugh that would come out, you know, and it was just appealing.
Yeah.
And I'm already missing his show, to be honest, so I'm not having a man crush or anything, but what I'm saying is I think he's an effective force. I believe we'll see him again.
I think so, too. He already had 42 million views on his, like, Twitter announcement versus, like, 3 million on Fox. So
that's
you go, Tucker. Yeah.
There we go.
All right, we're coming right back. Steve Thornton calling in regarding Save the Rocket. You guys stay tuned. We'll be on it. Be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio.
You You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like that dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, inexplicably, we are in the 4 o'clock hour. This show has flown by, Boom. I mean, I just say, this is, wow.
Absolutely.
I mean, but when you're having fun. Yeah.
It flies.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you guys know we've talked about it multiple times on the show. And Save the Rocket. So number two of the Triple Dipper, which we're only in two of the three, but number two of the Triple Dipper is Save the Rocket. And so I'm bringing somebody on right now. Rather than just hearing me opine, which I've done several times on this matter, and then all of you guys, I mean, the text lines have blown up on this issue. I'll just tell you, the sentiment that I see right now is the general public would like to save the rocket. And I completely agree. Well, somebody who has actually been working the issue, not just talking about it, somebody I'm getting to know lately is Steve Thornton. He's the chief executive officer from Montesano Research. They are a company that does any number of smart things like systems engineering, flight motion simulation, guidance and navigation control, propulsion, all of it. You can imagine with that kind of background, they're interested in matters of space, but he's also interested in his community, and he's working the issue hard. So without further ado, let me just bring on Steve Thornton. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, very good, Phil. Thank you so much for having us on, and thank you so much for heralding this extremely important topic of our Saturn 1B. You know, for more than 44 years, our Saturn 1B, located at the I-65 road stop in Ardmore, has greeted tens of millions of travelers since it arrived and was originally erected in 1979.
Yeah, I can remember it most of my life. I mean, I can't imagine driving back from Tennessee or up towards Tennessee and not seeing it standing there. But the thing that really gets me is it's real. This is not a monument that was made to look like a Saturn 1B. This is a Saturn 1B.
It is the Saturn 1B. It is the real thing, and it's one of two, arguably at most three, remaining in existence. Certainly, one of only two. In fully configured configuration. This Saturn 1B, more than being original, has become a long-standing symbol of Alabama's technology achievements, and it's our part in the achievements of our nation.
Well, it is. Become, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's become synonymous with the state of Alabama. And, yeah. You know, there's been so much recently, and we're grateful for this, very recently, the shock and surprise to the public is getting out in the media. It's been heralded as a done deal, but we need to have a little bit better assessment of what's going on, and therefore we're asking for it. And we want to bring a little bit of logic and sense to bear. We do not believe that destroying this rocket is necessary. We don't believe it's prudent, and we don't believe it's a matter of money, ultimately, or of technology. There is a sufficiency of will, both in the public and in the legislature, to save this rocket.
Well, so I've seen some of the reports, Steve. There's the one that was done last year for the U.S. Space and Rocket Center that's being touted as the grounds by which we base the decision to take it down and get rid of it. But then I've also seen documentation that indicates that other organizations that are equally qualified to assess have found that it's not too expensive to repair. It's not too far gone. So address those for me, if you will. Is it too far gone? Is it too expensive? Give me the thoughts.
Well, if someone says it's too far gone, we say, wait a minute. The alleged uncertainty of future viability, quote unquote, is just that. It means there's not necessarily an impossibility to preserve, only a lack of will to preserve. We don't see any proposals or formal estimates to repair or stabilize the rocket. The numbers that are being bandied about essentially are conjectures and rough estimates, not written condition reports. Don't we owe it to ourselves to get a few real estimates? Are we proposing to destroy a national treasure without knowing the real numbers? This simply cannot be.
I completely agree. I mean, we should know what the ground truth really is, but all right, there's the cost issue and all that. But let me ask you this. You made a comment a moment ago about it being, I forgot how you worded it, too far gone or unstable. Is it? I mean, is it going to fall over the next big wind? What are we looking at here?
Well, we have recent evidence that a landmark once-in-a-lifetime windstorm came through and it did not fall down. There are conservators' opinions that will point to the fact that we do not believe that it is too far gone, and we do not believe that it's too expensive to repair. When you look at the alternatives, it's not just what does it take to do the right thing with this rocket. The real question is, if you were going to do something else, what would it cost? And the evidence, I believe, will support the fact that simply by the numbers, the most cost-effective thing that we can do is preserve and make this rocket available for the next 45 years. It's stood there for 44 years. It has extraordinary historical value. It's a priceless national artifact, and it shouldn't be destroyed. And the public is not necessarily fully aware that taking it down will, in fact, be its destruction. The dismantling or the decomposition, we need not be deceived. It will be destroyed. It will be chopped up. It will be put in a trash can, and that will be the end of that iconic, precious asset.
Wow. I mean, that's sobering to think about it. But so let me ask you this. I hear folks say things like, it was only meant to fly once. It can't live outdoors forever. But what are your thoughts on that? I mean, this thing, I mean, can we, and I've seen, there are metal buildings that stand for 100 years. I mean, there are man-made objects that withstand the test of time. Is this one of those that can be continually refurbished, refreshed, protected in some way, and then continue to stand?
Well, of course, such artifacts were not originally designed for this purpose. That's why museums around the world do the work to preserve outdoor exhibits. This is equally true of all the space hardware that's now being maintained and preserved outdoors all over the country. The point really is, if you don't care for them in a curative manner, then, of course, they will deteriorate into nothing. This parlays back into the expense question, and we assert, what is too expensive? What is the worth of this rocket, and what is its appraisal value? We simply want a second opinion based on an honest desire to maintain and preserve this Saturn 1B in its present location. We believe that there's more than sufficient private interests and funds available to protect and provide for our national and state treasure in perpetuity. There are several measures of its value, and some of that might be defined as interest in other third parties that would very much like to have our rocket.
Well, I'm sure they would. I mean, that's the thing, is when you look at, you've got something, sometimes value is what other people, you know, place on it. And the idea that we've got something that others are already expressing interest, it clearly indicates that there's still value in it. But it's right now, it's still ours, and it sits on state property. And I think we have a requirement or a duty there to take care of it. But let me ask you this. There are some that say, and I think this is a fallacious argument, to be honest, but there are some that say, you know, we need something new. That's an old version of NASA. That's an old version of space. That's, you know, what? All right, give me your thoughts on that, because I can rip that one to shreds, but I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Well, let's contrast and compare. Of course, we want things that represent current state of the art and futuristic technologies, but these are the things that we should do in addition to the things that we also should do with preserving of our national artifacts and our state legacy and our heritage. We should do that in addition. What if, for example, you had the Nina The original Nina or Penta or Santa Maria sitting at your rest stop, would you tear it down to put up a newer boat? It's hard to imagine that we would eagerly disregard some of the best of what defines Alabama and despise this element in arguably one of the greatest achievements in mankind.
Hmm. Well, I mean, that's a cogent argument. And I think you're right. I think anybody that says we need something that shows the new version of space, space flight. I say put that right next to it, but don't take down the one you've got.
It's historically significant to the history of Alabama's space program. It's a longstanding symbol of our technology achievements, our part in the space race, our achievements in the nation, and again, it's synonymous with the state of Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely is. Listen, Steve, we're going to take a quick break right now. If you can hang on through the break, I want to come back and ask you to tell our folks, because we have a lot of listeners, what they can do to get involved with this. But in the meantime, can you hang on during break?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're with Steve Thornton right now, CEO of Montesano Research, and actively engaged in what it takes to preserve the rocket. Save the rocket. That's what I'm saying. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going back into our discussion right now. We're in number two of today's Triple Dipper, Save the Rocket. So here's the thing. It takes money, it takes time, it takes people, it takes skill, all of which can be obtained. But you got to have somebody leading the way on it right now. Steve Thornton appears to be the guy. So Steve Thornton on the line with us right now, CEO of Montesano Research. Hey, Steve, thanks for spending some time. And
no, thank you. Thank you so much for heralding this very important issue. Let me re-summarize it very concisely so we all can have the takeaway we need for today. The Saturn 1B rocket, located at the Tennessee-Alabama I-65 Welcome Center, has served as a symbol of Alabama's technological accomplishments for more than 44 years. It has extraordinary historical value. It is a priceless national artifact. It should not be destroyed. We believe it's our responsibility to conserve and protect our nation's priceless artifacts. And this Saturn 1B at the Welcome Center in Elkmont, Alabama, is such an artifact. It should be restored. So the question, what is going on here? Here's some observations. All parties involved in this issue agree something needs doing, but differing parties have different values, which lead to different judgments. Yet, as you know, there is still a tremendous passion in this district, in this state, and in this nation that will seek to do everything possible to maintain, preserve, and protect this rocket in its present location, both now and for the future. Was it a bad idea to put the rocket there in the first place? No, absolutely not. It was the right thing to do in the beginning, and it's the right thing to protect and preserve it now. So where are we at? NASA owns this rocket, has it on loan to the United States Space and Rocket Center. Apparently, neither one wants to retain the rocket, be responsible for it going forward, or spend money on it. And apparently, are not interested in any other entity taking charge of the rocket or spending money on it either. So the time has come to get this rocket into the hands of those who will value and preserve our state and national monument for the historical treasure that it is. What can you do to help? If you love the Rocket, if you see its value to Huntsville and Alabama, if you would be heartbroken if the Rocket were removed and destroyed, then join us. We plan to save the Rocket. We will need volunteers and donations in order to make this happen. That right now we need support. Again, this Rocket is a symbol of our legacy, a reminder of the achievements that have happened here. Going to the moon may be one of the greatest achievements of mankind. So we want you to be aware that you can contact us to help us at savealabamasrocket@gmail.com. That's one string, savealabamasrocket@gmail.com.
And was that Save Alabama's plural, like an S on the end of Alabama, Save Alabama's Rocket? Is that right?
Yes, no apostrophe, Save Alabama's plural, Rocket, all one string, @gmail.com.
Outstanding. Well, listen, Steve, I saw an article on AL.com. You're talking about holding a fundraiser. You're talking about trying to raise upwards of $10 million. And we're also looking at the possibility of the Attorney General's office having to render a ruling about whether it's protected under Alabama's Monument Preservation Act. So I'm really stoked that this is all going on, and there's still more to come. I mean, I know there's ownership issues, conservatorship issues. Of course, there's fundraising issues. So say it again, the website or the email address where they can contact you if they want to get involved or provide some support. How do we do it?
Save Alabama's Rocket. @gmail.com. That's a plural in Alabama. savealabamasrocket@gmail.com. We're just so grateful that we're finally getting a chance to herald this issue, and we're looking for as much public interest and public support as we can garner.
All right. Well, that's perfect. And I tell you what, Steve, what I want to do is I want to keep this topic open, so to speak. So in the future, as things progress, even if you have an update and you want to send me a text, I'll announce it. But the case here is being made that the Rocket needs to be saved. Not a fake version of it, shipping it off to a museum site, but preserving what we have, where we have it, because it's worth saving. And Steve
here's
Thornton,
something that will,
yeah, go ahead. We got about 30
that'll
seconds.
Resonate. Here's something that'll resonate with you. It's simply the right thing to do.
There you go. That's well said. All right. Hey, Steve Thornton, thanks for making time for us today. We'll be in touch, and we'll update this again later on, okay?
Blessings. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. That was cool. I love the fact, and I knew this would happen. I knew somebody was going to grab hold of this and make it a project, Boomer. You know, when we first talked about this that very first time. I had a feeling this was going to be a grassroots thing. It was not going to be like the legislature got involved and chose to do. No, it's going to be a grassroots effort, and that's what you just heard. That was the beginning of grassroots right there. All right. Well, God bless them. Listen, we're going to talk about this from a legal perspective. I'm going to keep this thread going. We get back from the break. We will be on it, just on it like white on rice. I'm saying we're going to save the Rocket, and you got to do that. You got to know what the laws are and what the impediments are, and I will cover down on some details when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of even Georgia, Tennessee, and oh yeah, Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, folks, I got to tell you, the Elm Foundation, one of our sponsors, the Elm Foundation, ELM, it stands for Expect Little Miracles. Very cool name. The Elm Foundation is based out of Huntsville. They're a 501c3 that is just doing amazing things in people's lives, as you watch on the news about things like rampant homelessness and, you know, a drug addiction in the streets and people that are hopeless as well as homeless. Well, listen, the Elm Foundation, they have a passion and a mission to work on that very issue, and they do a great job. And they don't just throw money at it like the government does. The Elm Foundation is out there literally walking with people through the crises that they may be in, giving them back their self-worth, helping them to find the ability to build a resume with job credentials on it that they can then use to get a job and rectify aspects of their life. And folks, I'm just telling you, that's just cool. That's the way it should be. The Elm Foundation. By the way, they're a 501c3. If you choose to donate to them, that's wonderful. Know this, every dollar you give goes right to their programs because they have one sole benefactor who has underwritten all of their administrative and salary costs. Their staff already has paid. Everything else goes into mission work. So the Elm Foundation, their website is ELMHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. Check them out. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio if you talk to them, and I would appreciate that. All right, let me do this. I'm still in Save the Rocket. And I got Jeff Rowe from Indiana, who I know drives past that rocket twice a day, almost every day. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Phil. If I wasn't in Nashville, that would.
So you already passed the rocket.
I passed the rocket. I sent you pictures a while ago. Yeah. You got fresh pictures, man.
I saw them.
There's nothing there but the rocket, basically, and that and the memorials. But who's wanting to get rid of this thing is the question I have, you know, because they seem to be hell-bent on getting rid of it. So that just doesn't make any sense to me if you can get outside people to put money into it and do it without costing the government anything.
Well, I tell you who wants to get rid of it are the only people that technically own it right now, the state of Alabama, the Space and Rocket Center, and NASA. None of them want it, and yet they're the ones who basically have the deed, if you will.
Yeah, and that makes no sense. If you've got something there and the people want it there, I mean, what is their plans to do with it if they do take it down? Are they going to put something else up there or anything? It doesn't make any sense that they'd want to tear it down and then just say, well, this didn't exist.
It reminds me of that song. What's that song? Big Yellow Taxi, Pave Paradise, Put Up a Parking Lot, Cut Down the Trees, Put Them in a Tree Museum. I mean, that's where we are. They're tearing down what's good to redo it fake.
Yeah, and I guarantee, you know, if you put a bug in Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos here or whatever and saying, you know, hey, we need to do this and we're looking for some donors and everything, you know, get a little competition going there, I believe you could fund the whole thing without, you know, would just be a hiccup on the a line error on the billions they have, you know. So
I tell you where it's going to be an issue right now too, Jeff, as I guarantee you, and I say this being one, that the lawyers are involved and they're worried about liability. How long can it stand there? Will it fall on somebody? What will the damages be? And I guarantee you there's fear and concern among the lawyers right now about redoing it and keeping it up there in perpetuity.
It should have never been let to get to dilapidated as it is right now because it looks pretty pitiful. I mean, it should have been the paint job should have been kept up on it. It like I say, it's a rocket. If you seal it off and everything, it's made out of it's not steel parts. It's pretty much got to be all aluminum, magnesium, stuff like that. So, and I realize that stuff does corrode, but you know, this thing was built to go into orbit. Yeah. I mean, it's not that fragile.
Yeah, it's pretty rock solid. It withstands some pretty serious G-forces. We'll see, man. But I guess you heard the segment there a minute ago with Steve Thornton giving us an update on their efforts to try and move it forward for preservation.
Yeah, and it should be. I mean, like I say, it's a Saturn. It's the first of the Saturn series. It's not the last. It's the first. So, you know, it's you want to preserve the older stuff because, you know, everything else is, you know, you can look back on that time and it's not nearly as technologically advanced as things are nowadays, and you want to see how they did things back then.
Well, yeah, and you also just want to, I think it's important, you know, it's like having a marker on a grave or a statue to somebody important. All you're doing is preserving the memory, and that's important too. If we preserve the memories, we know where we came from, we can marvel at what we've done. And that's important, I think.
Yeah. But like I say, I hope somebody dives into, you know, why do they are just basically so hell-bent on getting rid of it. That's a question I have.
Lawyers and money, I guarantee you. All right, man. Hey, listen, you have a safe drive. Blessings on it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Phil. Have a good one.
See you, buddy. Jeff from Indiana, boom. I mean, he passes that thing coming and going pretty much every day.
Oh, every day.
I mean, it's one of those things where if I was driving that route constantly, I would know exactly where I am.
Oh, right on the money. It's like there's the rocket.
It's like I feel about the Love's truck stop on I-59. I know exactly where I am.
Or Bucky's.
So I tell you what. So here's a couple of thoughts for you. You got to look at this and go, okay, what do we do? Like, all right, I believe that the grassroots effort with Steve Thornton and folks like him is going to be the linchpin. It's going to be the driving force. It's going to be the sentiment. It's probably going to be the fundraising that makes all this happen. But let's don't pretend for a minute that there's not other folks in the mix who get a pass. So where's the legislature on this? I mean, keep in mind, the legislature is in session right now. They're working on passing the budgets. One of those budgets sent over by the governor is the education budget, which inexplicably takes money from education to help the city of Birmingham pay off its bad debt from the World Games, $5 million. And there's another, what is it from Montgomery? Is it 10 or 20 million? I forget which, that is there to help basically finish out a water park that the city of Montgomery has been building that has not gone the way they hoped, and they need more money. And then on top of that, you've got the fact that the legislature just had a special to pass a huge supplemental appropriation bill off of all the dollars we got from D.C. We are flush with cash right now. So don't think for a second that the legislative processes couldn't kick in and just preserve this thing as it stands. They could, and they're spending a lot of money on a lot worse. But then you've got the legalities. So in 2017, when I was still in the Alabama State Senate, I was proud to support a bill that liberals hated because it was, and by the way, talk about timely, it was right before all of the George Floyd riots started and basically Antifa and other ne'er-do-wells were tearing down statues everywhere. They're tearing down statues of Abraham Lincoln and calling him a racist. Never mind he signed the Emancipation Proclamation. But you've got this madness where people were just tearing down monuments. And all the press, it was just like the disingenuousness we saw with Governor DeSantis having the bill against sexualizing children in schools, and all they could do was call it the Don't Say Gay Bill. Well, in Alabama, that became the Confederate Memorial Preservation Act. No, it wasn't. Okay, so what if somebody wanted to come along now and change the name of a school that's named after Martin Luther King? Oh, they'd be up in arms. But the law protects that now. What about something that's there to, I don't know, protect the foundations of Alabama power? The very first, you know, power projection in the South, which it was. What if they wanted to do that? They wanted to tear it down to build something new. Well, you know what? There might be a monument classification that would protect and preserve that for history. You got to look at this. It can be schools that are named. It can be streets that are named. It can be true monuments and statues. It can also be rockets. And that's being examined right now. So the code section, by the way, just in case you're curious, the code section that we passed into law in 2017 can be found at Title 41-9-232. 231 and 232 and et sec, which is the fancy way of saying and following. So, yeah, it's called the Alabama Memorial Preservation Act. It's not the Alabama Confederate Memorial Preservation Act, not at all. It preserves memorials. Here's what it says, by the way, just a quick piece of it, not the whole thing, but part of it says, no architecturally significant building, memorial street, or monument, which is located on public property and has been situated so for 40 or more years, may be relocated, removed, altered, renamed, or otherwise disturbed. Now, they provide you a means to do this. They provide a historical commission that would then take a look at it and provide, you know, basically guidance on what needs to happen. I mean, you may have a time when a city has to put in a new road and they're going to have to, you know, relocate something or take something down. Or the public sentiment may be so against this monument that they want to be able to address it. And that's when you go to the Alabama Memorial Preservation Act, and they have set up the Alabama Historical Commission, and the policies are in place for how to do it. Arguably, in my opinion, the law covers this rocket. And I say that because the definitions, you heard me read out, you know, what can't or cannot be moved. One of them is monuments. And in Section 49-9-231, monument is defined. It says a statue, a portrait, or a marker intended at the time of its dedication to be a permanent memorial to an event, a person, a group, a movement, or a military service that is part of the history of the people or geography comprising the state of Alabama. The term does not include signage, like historical markers or wayside exhibits, or portraits or plaques installed by temporary means and not intended to be permanent. So here's the thing. Everything about that rocket qualifies for protection. If I were fighting against it, the place I think you can attack it is, was it designed to be permanent? Right now, what we know is that this is on loan technically from NASA to the Space and Rocket Center and then to the state of Alabama. It meets every qualification. It's on state property. It's been there over 40 years. It is certainly a monument, but was it designed to be permanent? That's where I think we're going to wind up seeing the legal definitions being sort of bantered about. Did they mean for this to stay there in perpetuity? Well, they had, I think you're going to have to show the intent, the original intent, not what we think now. You can't conveniently ascribe things to people from 44 years ago to fit your personal narrative now. So I don't think the state's going to be able to do anything about it unless they can show that the original documentation said, for a period of time or until such time as, if you find that language, we may have an issue. Doesn't mean we can't preserve it. It just means it's not protected under the act. Interesting. Fascinating. More to come. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. Last break of the day. We'll head to it. We'll come right back and put a lid on the day. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, listen, I got to tell you guys, ZLA Solutions, one of our longtime sponsors, been with us for a good long time, and we appreciate it. But ZLA Solutions is doing an amazing job at putting people and jobs together. So if you're looking for a job personally, you can certainly go to their website. They've got plenty of them posted right now all across North Alabama and beyond. That can be found at ZLAUSA.com. But then on top of that, here's the deal. If you're an employer and you need people and you're trying to find them and you're struggling to do it, listen, that's their bread and butter, man. Doesn't matter whether you want temporary work or you need direct hire. They can do it blue collar, white collar, no collar. It don't matter. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing. I'm just saying, they are doing this in a major, major way for employer groups all over, really all over the nation, but their focus is primarily North Alabama. So check them out, ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com, and do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, listen, the text lines exploded, my boomer. They just exploded. That would be the key
They did this.
Yes, they did. let's grab a few. If you got something you want to grab, you just tell me, but John from Huntsville's already giving us our grade. We got an A- for the day because we didn't complete the triple dipper. And for not playing the jackassery sound effect. Hit it. Hit the jackassery right now. There's a lot of jackassery in today. That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Maybe now we can get extra credit. David from Hazel Green says, since neither NASA nor the Space and Rocket Center wants the rocket, someone who has the financial ability ought to create an LLC or some other mechanism and assume ownership and ask for donations. David, you are so right. That's exactly what is happening. We're under the belief that there will be a conservatorship of some type, at the very least, a responsible party for maintenance. We'll see. But I think you're going to see that. Absolutely.
Chris from Gazan, said, you would think if the rocket was not a permanent monument that the state would tell NASA to come get their rocket.
It's a good point. He's
there
on
you
it.
Go.
Rita from Scottsboro, the rocket is preserving our legacy. There you go. JT from Lacey Springs says, give the Saturn rocket a gender title. They say it wants to change. That'll bring protection and support. The rocket identifies as young, so let's go ahead and just keep it there longer. Where'd it go? I was looking down the line. Peggy from Cahaba Heights. Thanks for the discussion on the Saturn rocket monument. Keep it going, Phil. Yes, ma'am. Who else we got? Grab one if you want to, Boomer. Sheila from Madison. We should use some of our $3 billion surplus to preserve the rocket, since many of our state leaders don't want to give us meaningful tax cuts. Nice.
Dorothy from Elkmont. There was a tornado warning around the Welcome Center within a few years ago. There was minimal damage there, and the rocket withstood those winds.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. James from Harvest says he knows the son of the guy that was over the construction of it. I guess he's saying construction of the rocket out there at the rest stop. Has pics of it being built from the ground up. Perfect item for a museum there. That's a good idea. Or at least post them inside the rest stop, which is going to be a really nice rest stop when they get done with it.
Yeah. And then we got a new texter, Chip from Muscle Shoals.
Awesome. How many texters did we get to us today, new ones?
We had so many today. So many.
We love that. Glenn from Bluntsville says, here we need to have a Trump Nugent ticket. So Trump with Ted Nugent as his vice VP and Kid Rock for Secretary of State.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that would bring the end of times. I'm just saying. Christy from Huntsville, brand new first time texter. She says, for all those men who say they can be mothers, they should be required to experience one of those labor contraction simulators. I didn't know they made those.
Me neither.
I call that gas pains, and I've had it before, but I don't want to claim that it was anything like that. wow. Bill from Hartzell, LGBT school, has planted a virus to spread weakness to healthy parts of the country. There's an opinion. What else you got, Boomer? Got anything else?
Devin from Brownsboro.
Yeah.
He's like, fellas, I haven't heard the jackassery donkey sound effect much this week. I've missed it every time. well, just played it.
We did. And there's been plenty of jackassery to earn it. So, yeah. Bev from Madison. Leftist traits are, number one, they need instant gratification. Number two, they want to do what they want to do when they want to do it with no consequences. Number three, misery always loves company. Therefore, they have pity parties. And number four, if they can get others to do it, then there's nothing wrong with me, and I'm in control. She nailed that pretty well.
Yeah.
Bev from Madison.
And there's lots of texts in there of just, save the rocket, save the rocket, save the rocket.
They're full.
Tons of those.
All right. Well, listen, great show. And, you know, I will be back tomorrow with more stuff, and we'll just see what happens between now and then. What I know is Boomer and I take time to resource the show in the morning, so it'll be fresh, whatever it is. Fresh. But yeah, you guys have an amazing night. We love this audience. You're the reason why we do it. 2:00 tomorrow. We'll see you then.